Welcome to today's teleseminar. My name is Kathy Marler. I'm Director of Consulting with Member Solutions, and I'd like to welcome you to today's seminar called Win the Marketing Battle. As a business consultant, one of the most popular topics that I talk to a lot of people on a regular basis is low-cost marketing and how to make marketing more effective. Recently, at the Martial Arts Super Show, I did a class on Win the Marketing Battle. So basically, I'm repeating that presentation today because I know not everybody was able to make it to the Super Show, and I think it's got some valuable information. Win the Marketing Battle is really based on 10 main obstacles that a lot of people need to overcome to make their low-cost marketing more effective. And when I think of marketing, I think of it as being like a fighter. You know, when you want to be a great fighter, you've got to have proper timing, execution, the correct use of your techniques. You've got to have multiple weapons. You can't just always have one technique that you think is going to score all of the time. So being a marketing knockout could be one adjustment away. And the way I think about that that ties in with fighting as well is, you know, I might try to hit you with my sidekick. Maybe you block it. So next time, rather than just giving up, I'm going to make an adjustment. So maybe this time I'm going to cut a 45-degree angle and come after you with it. Another time I might just, I'm going to fake my sidekick and then hook kick you in the head. Another time I might fake a punch to your body and then come by with a sidekick. So you get the point. No matter what, I'm not just going to give up the first time my sidekick doesn't hit you because I'm pretty determined. But instead I'm going to think about what kind of adjustments I can make that can bring me better and different results. So you want to keep that in mind when you're thinking about winning your marketing battle. Everything doesn't work the first time. Sometimes you have to tweak things and try things a little bit differently. So today we're going to discover how to overcome marketing obstacles to create effective offers and urgency to maximize the number of inquiries that you can receive. So if you are looking at the PowerPoint presentation that's been PDF'd for you, on page 2 right now I'm looking at overcoming obstacles. The 5 on this page basically, lack of past marketing statistics can hold you back. So if you haven't been keeping track of how many calls you're getting each day, where they're coming from, you know, what the source was it a referral, was it from your website, was it a flyer, it's really hard to predict how much more marketing you need to do to gain the number of calls that you must receive in order to get the number of enrollments that you require every month. And each of these 10 topics I go over right now, we're going to talk about in detail further on. So right now I'm just going to give you a quick overview. So if you don't have past marketing stats, that can hold you back a bit. You want to definitely get on that and start keeping them right away if you have not been. Sometimes people have a challenge because they don't really have any type of basic marketing plan with any type of goals. They may just decide, well, you know, I'm doing some flyers this month. Okay, well, how many flyers are you putting out? Well, I'm putting out 100 flyers. Okay, well, what class are you trying to attract the people into? Oh, all of them. So that can be an obstacle if you have a lack of a marketing plan without any clear, specific goals. Another challenge to overcome is trying to market to everybody with no clear target market. Sometimes, you know, we get in the mode of, well, martial arts is good for everybody, so I think everybody should come join. Instead of thinking about, let's pump up our little ninjas or little dragons, tiny tigers class and write an ad specifically for that market, the parents of the kids that are 4 to 6 years old that are bouncing off the walls acting crazy. That would be a target market. So sometimes we try to use one ad, maybe because our budgets are tight, to attract a lot of different people, and that could be an obstacle too because your results may not be as great as they could be. Another obstacle is having no to just low marketing funds in the budget. And if you're listening to this going, what budget? That's a challenge, okay? So if you don't have any type of marketing budget, there are still things you can do that don't cost anything but your time that we'll get into a little bit later, but that is definitely an obstacle to overcome. Another one would be having an unrealistic prediction of the number of leads you're going to gain from each type of marketing that you do. So, for example, if I spend $500, $800 on some newspaper ads, maybe it rains the day my ad goes in the newspaper, nobody looks at it, it's all the papers are all wet or whatever, I predicted I'm going to get 20 phone calls from that because I'm so optimistic, and instead I get 2. That's not a great feeling. So you've got to really get good, and I know it's a prediction, but you've got to get good at sort of looking through your crystal ball and predicting the number of leads you're going to get conservatively. When in doubt, go low, because it's much better to be surprised in the pleasant rather than in the shocked tense, so to speak. Another obstacle to overcome is betting on one method to gain all your leads. So, for example, some people might decide to only advertise one way, thinking, this is going to be so great. You know, this guy said I'm going to get these super results by doing this one thing. I'm putting all my money in that one thing, or putting all my eggs in one basket. And then if it comes through for you, that's wonderful. But if it doesn't, then it's going to stink to be you just a little bit. So you don't want to bet on just one method to gain all your leads. You'd like to diversify a little bit and do, you know, it might be better for you to do 3 to 5 to even 7 things with that money that you do have set aside rather than just one thing. If the one thing works and you know it does, hey, go for it, then that's okay. Another obstacle is marketing that lacks a call to action or an urgent offer. Sometimes people will put out ads that, you know, have information, but it doesn't really do anything to hook or really draw in the person who's reading it and tell them what to do. So you want to make sure that all of your marketing pieces tell the person who's reading it exactly what action you want them to take. And you've got to give them a reason to act now that is so awesome that they'll feel like, man, if I don't do it now, I'm going to miss out. Another obstacle is giving out TMI, too much information. You know, if you have an ad that comes out that where you're actually telling people how long the program is, what the exact cost is, what is included in it, and giving them all of those items, some people are probably not going to call you because there's no sense in it right now until they're really, in their minds, ready to rock and roll. You've given them everything. There's no reason they need to call you. So you'd like to leave something out, leave something to the imagination, and tell them to give you a call for more information or, you know, give them a reason to call you right now to get something. Another obstacle to overcome is choosing marketing that requires follow-up that you're not willing to delegate and you're not willing to do yourself. Now, that might sound strange to have on the list, but honestly, if I had a dollar for every person I talked to that said, you know, I'm just doing this because somebody said I should, I'd probably be a rich woman. You want to plan your marketing and everything that you have to do based on something that you are willing to do, or you have and will train someone else to do, or you're willing to delegate out so it's done properly with the proper attitude and in the proper time frame. There's no sense in doing some type of a marketing plan that means that down the line that you're going to have to make follow-up phone calls if you absolutely positively hate to do it, because you're not going to do it 100%. So don't put those type of things on the list. And the last obstacle that I want to talk about today is giving up too soon. Again, if I just had a dollar every time I heard, I already tried that. You know, it's back to that thing that, you know, sometimes we give up too soon rather than hanging in there and just changing something and modifying it. Because I guarantee you that if you're sparring with somebody, you know, and you try to hit them again with a sidekick or something, and you try once, you're not going to just go, I already tried that, and give it up, you know, and go on to something else. You're going to stick with it until you hit them with it, especially if it's your signature move, right? So those are the main 10 obstacles that we're going to address today, that if you can overcome them, you can definitely win your marketing battle. So what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to move on to giving you more detailed explanation on how to overcome or how to, you know, solve some of those obstacles. So the first one is a lack of marketing stats. A couple things you could do is, well, you could start tracking your statistics NOW right now. So if you don't have any sitting on your desk, you can certainly start marking down, you know, the amount of inquiries you're getting, where they're coming from, if you set an appointment off them or not, and those types of things right now today. You know, at least track, if nothing else, track the number of inquiries from each source. And another important thing to track is the number of enrollments from each source. This is really key in trying to predict the number of enrollments you're going to net every month, and here's why. If I have figured out that every time I have 5 phone calls, one of those phone calls ends up being an enrollment, okay, so it takes 5 calls to get 1 enrollment, which isn't really great, by the way, but we're just going to use that for today's purposes. Then I know if I need 10 new enrollments every month to be happy, I just take 5 times 10, and I know I need to generate 50 information calls or 50 inquiries. So that number of enrollments I get from each source is really important to know. Another super important one, of course, is your cost per call, because you need to know that, you know, if you're spending $500 to get one lead, that's not a great thing if you can also be spending $10 to get a lead. So you want to know exactly how much each type of call is costing you so that you can evaluate that on a regular basis and decide where to spend your hard-earned marketing money. Another one you want to know is cost per enrollment, because, you know, you could have something similar happen to you. When I was on USA Karate back in the day, we had a TV show that was on, and I might get 5 or 6 information calls a week on a cable TV show we had running. And out of those 5 or 6 calls, believe it or not, only maybe one would become a student. Whereas if it was a referral, there was a really great chance, way better than that, or even a flyer. I might get, you know, if I might get 1 out of 2 people from a flyer that called, it would actually become enrollments. So even though it made my phone ring, it wasn't the greatest source of enrollment. I think they were just very entertained. But so it's important to know your cost per enrollment as well. And if you don't have stats and you haven't tracked them and you're just really baffled by it, network. You know, ask everybody else about what their results are. Ask everyone else about their stats. If you're currently in our Consulting Apprentice Challenge, then, you know, you've got access to the Consulting Apprentice blog where there's a bunch of networking categories. And one of the categories is share your stats with everybody. So you can certainly ask them how they're doing in the different areas and gain some knowledge from our mentors on how to keep stats if you're just not sure. So let's move on to the next one. And our next topic is how to create a basic plan with goals. So if you've never laid out any type of marketing plan for yourself, one of the things that I would recommend doing is just starting very basic. And you can start out with just the, you know, the number of new members you want each month on minimum. So when you figure out that number, don't just figure out the number of new students you need to net based on, you know, your enrollment desires, but factor in how many people quit each month into that. So, for example, if you want to see growth of 10 new students every month and you're on the ball with your, you know, people who have canceled memberships, moved or quit or whatever, and you realize you're losing 3 people, then obviously your goal is not 10, it's 13, because you've got to replace the people who are leaving at the same time that you put the new people in, or you're going to be spinning your wheels and you're not going to experience the growth that you really could. So factor that into the number of new members you want each month. What's the minimum on that? Now, you're going to base your stats or your estimate on how many inquiries you need to generate. So it all goes back to trying to figure out with your statistics, you know, the number of inquiries it takes to get one enrollment. So I'm just going to use that number 10 again for 10 enrollments to make it really easy. And let's imagine that you are awesome, your staff is awesome, whoever's touching your telephone and handling inquiries is so awesome that 50% of the people who call end up being enrollments. Wouldn't that be nice? So if our goal was to have just 10 new students, obviously we'd only need to generate 20 information calls. All right, so that is the number that we would be shooting for to net 10 new students. So once you know that number, again, you're going to plug it in and figure out, do you need 50 inquiries to get the number you need? Do you need 20? Do you need 30? What is your number? Need to know. And another thing you can factor in, too, is how many inquiries do you want to generate for each individual program you offer? Now, this might sound a little anal, I know, but, you know, I firmly believe in visualizing the students that you want to have in your school while you're doing all this planning. So if you've got lots of space in your preschool program and you're wanting to get 20 inquiries, then maybe you're going to want 10 of those to actually be in the preschool market. So I'm going to mark that down. Maybe I want 5 of those inquiries to be in my mixed martial arts class. Maybe I want the other 5 to be in my ladies kickboxing class. So when I plan my marketing, I'm going to plan it around the fact that I want 10 inquiries for preschool, I want 5 for mixed martial arts, and I want 5 in my ladies kickboxing. I'm going to get that specific, and you'll kind of see why later on. And that also goes into the target marketing we were briefly talking about. So if you have a basic plan and you know those things, that's going to help you out a whole bunch. And later on, part of your homework is to kind of plug in some numbers for the type of marketing that you want to do and estimate how many inquiries you think you can get from each one. So that'll tie in with this as well. If we move on, continuing with the same topic, I'm on page 6 now of the PDF if you've downloaded that from the website. You know, how are you going to market to reach each target group, and what marketing tools are you going to use? You know, so if I'm going to market to preschoolers, you know, I need to devise my marketing plan around those 10 inquiries I wanted again and figure out, well, where do parents of preschoolers hang out? You know, what type of message do I need to give the parents of preschoolers to try to entice them, you know, to come into the school and join? So you're going to ask yourself these questions while you're planning, before your marketing goes out. Another thing you want to throw out is how many sits are going to go out. You know, so if you know from your past direct mail experience that if you mail out a flyer with a good call to action and some urgency, expiration date, the whole nine yards, you might have figured out that if you send out 100, you get one call, which I'm hoping you get a lot more than that, by the way, but I'm just using that as an example. So then you might be putting out 1,000 flyers to get those 10 calls, just, again, as an example. So how many pieces are going to go out? You know, what date are they going to go out by? You know, you can map all of these things out, and then you can kind of figure out, again, based on how much money you're going to spend doing that, you know, what is your estimated cost per inquiry? And if you truly don't know, then I guess you can wait. So you get the calls and figure out how many calls you got versus what kind of money you spent, and get that information. Let's move on to the next topic, which is just let's talk a little bit about target marketing. You know, first of all, you've got to decide who you're trying to attract. I've already mentioned that several times, but it's so important that I mention it again. You know, you visualize who you want to attract. Think about who you're trying to attract. You know, what type of person wants your services? And I know we could say everybody, but let's get really specific. You want to be a niche, you know, and you want to have a niche market, not just be someone who caters to everybody, you know, even though your preschool class, you know, that's going to obviously cater to a unique group of individuals. And if you have different types of programs, you know, like the kickboxing or the mixed martial arts or kung fu, yoga, you know, capoeira, all these different things, you're going to think about what type of person wants each type of those services. And think about with your marketing, you know, how exactly, you need to be able to really explain this, but how exactly do you satisfy a basic need or solve a problem or make them feel good? Because those are the main three reasons why people buy or why people make a decision to do things, service-oriented things as well as purchasing, you know, cars and things like that. You know, how do you satisfy a basic need? How do you solve the problems? And how do you make them feel good? And that might be a fun drill for you just as a sidebar to do with your staff, or if you're a one-man or woman show, to sit down with yourself and think about that. You know, make sure you can articulate that and explain exactly how you solve a challenge or make them feel good and solve basic needs. And then once you've got that all ironed out, then you create your marketing pieces that speak to the person. You know, not that we do this and we do this, but, you know, hey, you know, does your child need more self-confidence and discipline? You know, yeah, mine sure does. Thank you very much for asking. Let me read about this. So when you create pieces, speak to the person that you're trying to target, and you'll have better results. If you shift over to page 8, there's a little sample of a target marketing piece. This is actually available through the Member Solutions print portal that you can access through your Member Solutions account. Just go to the print portal. There's like a little catalog of all kinds of different ads and postcards and stuff like that, and that's exactly where I grabbed this postcard from. And this is just an example of target marketing. This particular item, it's the title on a postcard is Karate for Concentration Workshop. And there's a picture of a parent doing homework with a child. It looks like they're going through a math book. I'm pretty blind, but I'm thinking that looks like some math problems to me. You know, there's a dad helping a little boy, and they're looking at it. And there's just some bullet points that say, you know, are you wishing your child had greater ability to listen and focus? Concerned about your child's level of self-control? I'm already nodding. Wondering if your child has the self-esteem it takes to be successful? And then this is for a seminar. It says, be our guest at the free 60-minute seminar. And then you flip the postcard over, and there's a little bit of copy about the 60-minute concentration skills workshop that's free. And, you know, basically some of the calls to action on it, there's limited space available. Call now to reserve your child's space. And then there's a phone number, a web domain, and then a fake name of a karate school. So, you know, all of those things are just an example of target marketing that's on that postcard. Okay, let's move on. If you've got a very small marketing budget or you just don't like to spend a lot on marketing, I don't blame you. The first thing you want to do is something our good friend Allie is always saying, and you got to maximize what you already have and what you've already paid for. So think about what you already have that you can utilize to the fullest, or maybe what you have that you're not utilizing to the fullest. And some of the really basic things that come to my mind that you may have already thought of or you might not have are things like your storefront windows. If you have, you know, storefront windows and you don't have some type of new student special on there with a call to action, then that's something that you can definitely improve on. One of the funniest things I found when I was running USA Karate is I had a tinted window because the time of day at 5 o'clock, this blazing Florida sun would come in the window. So I didn't want to tint this particular window because I wanted window peekers, you know, to see exactly what was going on. But we would have people stare, and we would actually open the door and go, oh, hi, did you want to come in and watch class? And then we'd chase them off by doing that. So one thing I figured out is I thought, this seems so silly, but I'm going to try it anyway, is I went to my storefront window, and I put some lettering that just said, visitors, welcome. Everyone, please come in. And it was like a miracle. Instead of having window peekers, I had walk-ins. Go figure. So that was one way that I maximized a storefront window. You know, look at your signs. You know, how can you maximize your signs? You know, what could you do better with those? If you already have a website, there's probably lots of ways that you can maximize that website, whether it's offering a free how to choose a martial arts school report online that you advertise in your flyers, your postcards, and in other places to drive people to your website so they get there. Even your voicemail. Sometimes, you know, we forget to put, mention, you know, and tell people in our voicemails for our schools that, you know, what our special is. You know, ask about our new student special. It's 50% off this month to the first, you know, 15 people that ask us about it. You know, or the first 15 people that take us up on it. Please leave your name, number, and we'll call you right back with that information. Email, your car. Some people, if you're really tight on a budget, those car magnets are not a bad idea. Cost you $30 to $50. And when you don't want to be Karate Guy or Karate Girl, you can just take them off. Your friends, whether it's their word of mouth or them helping you pass out different flyers and things like that, how can you maximize the friends that you have where they work? You know, how can you work together with those businesses to bring in new students? Your past prospects, that's one a lot of us do forget about. You know, all the people that have called us inquiring, they meant to come and they never did. They missed appointments. Maybe we didn't have as much time as we would have liked or had some automated systems in place to follow up as quickly as possible, but we still have the info. Go back after them. Give them a compelling offer and get their fannies right in. being a guest speaker, et cetera. So just think about how can you maximize what you already have and you're already paying for. And I'm just going to throw member solutions in there because, you know, you guys, a lot of people don't realize we have this huge online consulting library that you can access for free just by logging into your member solutions account, clicking consulting, and either going to our teleconference library or our email library archive area. There's just tons and tons and tons of information right there for you to help you with all kinds of things. So don't forget to look in there, too. Review low-cost marketing list. The handout that's on the website that says Get Worksheet, which is your homework, if you choose to do it, and I hope you do, it just has like a quickie list of about 35 low-cost marketing ideas just to help spark your thinking. And, you know, choose several low-cost promotions that make sense if you've got a tight budget. Let's move on to what to do. How do we get a realistic prediction number of leads? You know, how do we realistically predict? Use your past stats, obviously. If you have them, use your past statistics to help you predict your future results. Obviously, you want to go back and look at every month, but in August, you really want to go back and look back at last August and see what worked for you and what didn't work for you and plan accordingly. So use those to help you predict your future results. You can network again. That's an awesome thing to do with other schools similar to yours and review their stats and see how they did on different things. And, you know, again, I mentioned this before, but I'm a firm believer that you got to guesstimate conservatively because I'd much rather have a good surprise than a bad surprise. So, you know, if you think something's going to give you 6 inquiries, why don't you plan on 4 or 5 just in case so that you more than achieve your goal? Not a bad thing. On the next page, if you've got the PowerPoint, it is on page 11. There's an example of lead estimation, and I'll just read it off to you. What I did here is, just lead estimation, I've listed just 6 low-cost promotions that you might be doing in your school at any given time. and a very conservative number of the amount of leads that you might get from it. So the first one is a parent's night out. I'm saying that, you know, your students brought 10 guests that attended, and just I'm only accounting that for 3 leads, which is not the greatest. You can do much better, I'm sure, but we're going to be really conservative. So 10 guests, 3 really good, juicy leads of that. The next promotion I listed was to distribute 500 door hangers. Back to school time is typically a great time for door hangers, too, by the way. But out of 500, I went with the number 7. So I went for about 1.5% return on those 500 door hangers, again, to be conservative. And if you have phone numbers of those neighborhoods or those places, you know, and you make phone calls, that number is going to go way up. Another could be a birthday party for a student. You know, when they go back to class, back to school, that is, they typically invite their entire class to their birthday party, at least the younger kids do. So, you know, maybe they have only 10 friends from school attend, but out of those 10 friends, 3 of them might be really good leads for you. Another promotion could be 100 VIP passes that you've handed out at a school talk. And since you talked to them and you had really had the ability to hammer home your program and tell them to go home and talk to their parents about it or bring in their report cards to get a free course, or you gave the kids some really strong incentive in that school talk to go along with those VIP passes, you know they're going to go home and bug their parents, and you should be able to get at least 6 inquiries off of that. The next thing was inquiry calls from a vehicle wrap. You know, it could be a car magnet as well, but, you know, a lot of people go to sign companies these days and are getting their vehicles wrapped, whether it's for their after-school program or just their different classes that they offer with the name of their school, bullet points of what type of classes they offer. You know, again, kickboxing, mixed martial arts, after-school program, et cetera, phone number, web domain, and a call to action. And so off that vehicle wrap, we're going to figure you're going to get at least 3 inquiries, probably a week, not just a month, but we just went with that number for now. And last but not least, we sent out 20 really good rejoin letters to past students that we feel we have a really good chance to get back. And we figured we'd get 3 inquiries from that because our offer was just going to be so compelling, and we followed it up with phone calls in this scenario to help really get these guys to come in. So if you switch over to page 12, to continue that, based on those numbers I just gave you, 25 leads would come in. And if we're really on our game and we convert 1 out of 2 leads to actually join, 25 leads would give us about 12 and a half students, right? So that would be pretty awesome. So if by doing lead estimation when you're planning your marketing, it's going to help you hit your goal rather than fall short and wonder what happened. So that's something we definitely want to take part in every month. And you can do it every quarter or, you know, every year if you want to go back, but at least do it every month, and it's going to help you out a lot. If you shift over to page 13, let's talk a little bit about betting on one promotion to get all of your leads. If it works, hey, good for you. If not, you're going to be a little bit sad like my little frowny face I put in this presentation. So, you know, again, it's not the best idea or strategy to put all your eggs in one basket. It's much smarter to diversify and use your budget for several different things. Unless you're positive, it's surefire, you've got the stats to prove it, time and time again, you just know, then that's a different story. You want to diversify and market each month in multiple methods. So that's just the main theme, what I was just talking about. It's okay to spend a higher percentage of your funds on certain promotions. That's sometimes a question I get. It's not like if you have $500, that $100 had to go to 5 different things. You know, obviously, if $300 is well spent on one thing, something else might cost you $20, something else might cost you $70, that's perfectly okay. But just try to diversify instead of putting all your eggs in one basket. The next obstacle I just want to touch base on is marketing that lacks a call to action or an urgency offer. And this is a huge challenge to overcome if these are things you want to have. You know, if you don't give me a reason to take action and call you right now, then I guess that makes me probably a procrastinator. You know, if you've ever put something out and had somebody bring it back a year later, you know what I'm talking about. And it's great that you got it back a year later, but wouldn't it have been nicer if they called you within 14 days of you doing it? I think so. So you want to give a reason to call action, to take action and to call right now. Make sure your message is specific. Do your best to, instead of just saying, like, save money, try to say how much money they're going to save. For example, if I tell you I've got a new student course, it's 6 weeks, and you can save 50% right now, that's specific. I'm saving 50%. But guess what? I don't know how much it is, so I better call you to find out. Find out more details, which is exactly what you want. Or, you know, be specific, like save $49. You know, tell them what they're going to save. Give them a percentage. Give them half off. It's half off. Tell them something that is specific, yet, you know, again, they're still not going to know every little bit of information. They need to call you for it. Use power words in your marketing. You know, there's simple things like free. Free is always a good word. Limited time offer. So, you know, it's a free trial. It's this week only. You know, and again, tell your customer what specific action you want them to take. You know, for example, if you have the ability to register people for introductory lessons on your website, you know, go to our website now, be one of the first 10 people registered this week, and receive 50% off enrollment. You know, something very specific. Tell them what you want them to do, you know, whether it's call you, go to your website, come in, dash in, whatever it is. Let them know specifically. If you are looking at the presentation, I have another illustration for you. And this is an ad example with the call to action. And this is pretty basic, and looks like Kathy Marler tried to customize this herself, which is why the graphics are very basic, so I'm definitely not an artist, just a martial artist. In this postcard, it's Is Your Child Ready? It's a back-to-school special ad, and this is also found in your online marketing portal where you can customize it, save it to your desktop, or you know, have it printed through the print portal. But it says, Is Your Child Ready? And the kid's got his hands on his face like the old, Cully McCulkin? I'm losing his name, but I'm sure one of you guys will correct me on that, from the old Home Alone movies. And he's thinking bullies, homework, peer pressure, tests. And basically, I won't go through the whole ad, but, you know, just the offer is save $99 when you enroll by August 1st, 2008. Call today, and obviously the name and the phone number, the domain is listed. So it's not rocket science, but that's very specific. Save $99 when you call today. So you know exactly what you're going to save. You just don't know all the details, so you need to call and ask. Next on our page 16, giving out TMI, too much information. I keep talking about that as well because that is very common. You know, we just want to tell everybody everything so we get people who are truly interested, when in reality it might be better if we give them less information so that we can educate them further before they make a firm decision on where they're going to train. Give them just enough information to get interested and find out more. That's what your job is when you put out your marketing pieces. You know, review your promotions and ask yourself, you know, what does the reader still need to know? You know, what have I left for them still need to know? And that'll help you test whether or not your marketing is giving TMI or not. And consider, you know, again, giving the duration plus the savings of a program versus the duration and the price. So instead of saying 6 weeks for $99, you know, I might say 6 weeks, save 50% now, or 6 weeks, save $49.95 right now. You know, 6 weeks, enroll in 6 weeks right now, get a free backpack, you know, for back to school time or whatever it is. But don't give both the duration and the price because, it doesn't leave enough to the imagination in most cases. Another obstacle to overcome, launching promotions that require follow-up you're not ready to do. I touched base on that earlier as well. And what I really mean by that is, you know, I've had people tell me, you know, I maybe made a few different suggestions about things that they could do for low-cost marketing, and like, you know, Kathy, I really hate to call people I don't know and talk to them. Love it when they walk in. Love it when they call me. Hate it. Not doing it. So you know what? That is something I would say, okay, if you're not willing to delegate that or you're not willing to train somebody else to do it properly, then don't put that on your list, because if you're not 100% committed to doing something, you're going to half-heartedly and you're not going to get great results, and it's probably going to be a waste of your time. So, you know, I know you need to push yourself and get out of your comfort zone. I don't disagree with that at all. But way out of your comfort zone, no, don't do that. You know, if you have a day job and, you know, you don't have a lot of time to follow up, then don't plan stuff that takes lots and lots of on-the-phone follow-up. Do things that are automated where you can shoot an email out to everybody, or you can send a direct mail letter or a postcard, you know, or you can work with a group of people at one time. But think about that when you plan your marketing. You know, if you have a lack of time, and most of you do, you know, whether you're working full-time and running in to teach at night or even if you are in the school 9 to 10, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., you still probably would like to automate as much as possible. You know, and obviously consider delegating a task to a qualified person. You know, a qualified person obviously is somebody that you can train properly, that gets it and will do it right, that you'll, you know, get results from, or somebody that you can outsource even to another company or another freelancer that can do it right. You know, and again, just select marketing that fits in with what you are willing to do and what you have time for. It's that simple. And on the next page, on page 18, another obstacle to overcome is giving up too soon. You know, and again, back to winning the marketing battle as if it's a fight. You know, some people have false expectation of results. Don't think it's the fight, it's always easy. It's not a walkover all the time. You know, you've got to realize that sometimes things don't go as planned and you've got to adjust midstream and to make it work. You know, don't be quick to say that something doesn't work. Oh, I tried that a year ago, it doesn't work. I tried that, it doesn't work. You know, take the time to retest. Learn from your mistakes. Don't keep doing the same thing over and expecting different results, but you've got to tweak different things. You know, maybe you need to test the headline. Maybe you need to put out two postcards, for example, out of 500. Maybe 250 have one headline. Maybe the other 250 have a different headline. Maybe they have the same headline, but they have different call to actions and different offers. And you see which one pulls best. You know, try different things, but you got to test and maneuver around a little bit. Don't just assume something stinks and doesn't work because you tried it once and never go back to it again if it seemed like a good idea. And, of course, some people don't have enough funds to repeat campaigns, so that is a reason they give up too soon sometimes. And, you know, you've got to plan carefully and do what's within your budget. And sometimes you just got to, you know, you got to make it. Somehow you got to be creative, find a less expensive way of doing it so you can make it work. And just briefly, lack of understanding of return on investment. And before I explain that one just a little bit further, I think a lot of us, if we have a lack of understanding on return on investment, it's because we don't have marketing budget. And so what happens is sometimes somebody spends $500 doing something, and when they get two students off of that, let's just say that they're going to get two, they got two students who over a year's period of time is going to pay them $2,500 in tuition. Okay, if you invest $500 and you're going to get back $2,500, isn't that like a 5-to-1 return on your money over a year's period of time? That's killer. If you had a lot of $500, you would do that all day long. But instead, what happens sometimes is we give up too soon because maybe we don't have, you know, that kind of money. So what happens is if we spend $500, some of us are in a hurry to get like that $500 back in our pocket really fast, you know, or $1,000 cash really fast. Can you do it? Yeah, you can. Sure you can, you know, by the offers that you put out. But usually return on investment, you know, if you spent $500 and you got two new students that's going to give you $2,500 over a year period of time would be considered awesome. So I just wanted to touch on that briefly as well. If you are looking at our PowerPoint presentation, you can kind of skip through. I forgot to take out a slide, admittedly, about a networking exercise we did at the Super Show. But if you go down to page 21, there's a class assignment that goes with the handout that is on the website. And just basically, it's I'm going to grab that worksheet myself really quick right now and open that up. If you haven't got to that, try to go to the website and get that. It just says get worksheet. It's a very simple worksheet, and if you don't do any type of marketing plan before you start your marketing each month, try this and see what happens. But basically, it's just asking you to write down a list of the different events or promotions or marketing that you want to do for a month and estimate the number of leads you're going to generate. So one more time, let me just dial back to if we're trying to get 20, let's go back to that number of 25 before. If we're trying to get 25 leads, because we know that when we get 25 phone calls or 25 inquiries, we can net 12 students, then I know that I only need 25 leads because I'm trying to net 12 students. If it takes 50 inquiries to net 10 students, then I know when I make this little plan, I need to come up with a way to get 50 leads generated. So, you know, try this. Just, you know, fill it in with 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 low-cost marketing promotions that you're willing to do and guesstimate or estimate the number of leads you think you can get from each one of them. and make sure it all ties in with, you know, your statistics on how many inquiries it takes you to get one new student so that you can hit your target and you can kick the marketing battle's butt, basically. I know I went through a lot of information kind of fast. If you're on the phone and for any reason you're not going to be able to go up to the website and pull down those worksheets, if you email consulting@membersolutions.com, I would be happy to forward those to your email. So feel free to do that, and then you can kind of go back over the presentation, and then if you have questions, you can always send an email. So just one more call. Any questions on the phone? One more time?
Kathy, can you hear me?
I can, Dwayne. Dwight, I'm sorry. Look at me. I always do that to you. You've got both ways. Dwight Woods, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
I had more of a comment on something that you said earlier about people who are afraid to call people that they don't know. And
yeah,
this is actually, I mean, I used to have that same problem. And then I thought to myself, well, if we're teaching people about self-defense and we're teaching people about self-confidence, well, then we pretty much have to walk the talk, don't you think? So,
yeah, I agree. You got to walk the talk, and I use that kind of as an example.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, and I think we do have to get outside our comfort zones. But I guess if there's somebody who's just really, if it's way, way, way out of there, then they need to, I think, be more acquainted and work on that a little bit more before, instead of doing something with not the correct attitude, I guess is where I was going with that. Got to have the correct attitude, or why do it?
Yeah. Well, it works for me. Yeah, every time that I think, oh, man, I really don't want to make this phone call, then I go, well, is that self-confidence or not?
And I would never guess for you not to be happy to talk to people on the phone. I'm shocked. Unless it's just an example you're giving.
Well, no, that's why I'm saying that it was something I used to suffer from, but not anymore.
Okay. Oh, that's a very good point, though. Thank you. As I'm wrapping this up, I want to tell you a little bit about our guest that's coming in next Wednesday on the 20th at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. We have Mr. David Meyer coming in to talk about the Alpha Mixed Martial Arts Rotating Curriculum Program. And, you know, this program, I was blown away by it. You know, a lot of you probably don't know, I've had neck surgery, so I can't grapple and get in there and choke people out anymore and enjoy that type of training. But this program blew me away, and I'm privileged enough to have a copy in my hands in my office. But if you've been looking for any type of or wanting to learn any type of mixed martial arts curriculum, this program, the way it's laid out, it's like it's got a 231-page manual with lots of pictures, which I like, and explanation and key points, and it's designed for you to be able to open it up in the classroom and, like, literally lay it on the floor and look at it. It's also got a 24-class rotating curriculum lesson plan for you to reference in the class if you forget from what you've watched on the DVDs. Again, it lays open really easy. There's lots of places for notes. I swear the cover is sweat-resistant, but I could be wrong. And they've got a sample class DVD, I guess, where they're showing you exactly what they think you should be teaching in an introductory MMA lesson. They've got an iPod files, the rotating curriculum, the 24 classes on iPod, and just three other curriculum DVDs. I don't want to go on and on, but I was just blown away by it, all the programs I've seen over the years. I was pleased as punch to see that one. I looked at that and I was like, oh, I could even teach this, you know, because it's laid out so precisely. So he's coming next week just to discuss what that is and the benefits, and also, more importantly, how to maintain courtesy and respect, you know, in your atmosphere if you're bringing in MMA type of training for the first time as well. So I thought that was really cool. So if you can, give a listen to Mr. David Meyer next Wednesday. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. Thank you so much, everybody. I know everyone's in back-to-school mode. And, again, if you have any questions, feel free to email consulting@membersolutions.com. And I hope you enjoyed the presentation today. Thank you very much. Bye, everybody.
Bye, Kathy.